name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shall be.
Now, if you can think back to February 11th, 1990, if you were born yet, the eyes of the world were on this town in South Africa called Paarl. And in that town, on that day, there was a man who left a prison called Victor Versta, hand in hand with his wife, Winnie. That person was Nelson Mandela. If we know anything about Nelson Mandela, he had spent 27 years imprisoned because of his fight against apartheid in South Africa. Now, while he was incarcerated, Nelson Mandela was the victim of terrible tortures. He was abused physically, he was abused verbally, he wasn't allowed to see members of his family, he had members who died and he couldn't go to their funerals. He was assigned to hard labor, one of those being working in a quarry, and if you know anything about a limestone quarry, it's white. And so because of the sunlight, it damaged his eyes permanently, working during his incarceration. The living conditions of his imprisonment were so terrible that he contracted tuberculosis and it permanently damaged his lungs for the rest of his life. All of this because he fought for racial equality. 27 years. Think of the birthdays missed, the funerals missed, not being able to see your wife or your loved ones. And so even though this man, Nelson Mandela, though he suffered so much injustice at the hands of the government, and he had ample reason to be bitter and to not have forgiveness in his heart when he walked through the gates of Victor Versta prison, he was quoted as saying, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison." So Nelson Mandela, who had suffered so much, chose to forgive the people who had incarcerated him for 27 years. He learned the importance of forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is important. We all would agree to that. But if it's so important, why is it so difficult for us to forgive? Oftentimes it's because we've been hurt by someone else. We have a legitimate hurt or pain. Someone has broken their trust in us. They failed to live up to our expectations, and we become angry. And when we feel angry and we don't deal with that anger, it becomes bitterness. And then that bitterness takes root in our life and it grows. And then it becomes systemic. And we become resentful and full of all sort of unhealthy physical and mental dispositions. You know, physically, unforgiveness can have a negative effect on us. Studies show that 61% of cancer patients, 61%, struggle with unforgiveness. Now, I'm not saying if you've had cancer, it's because you're not forgiving. But what I am saying is there's a correlation between people who struggle with forgiveness and cancer. And people who struggle with unforgiveness have greater incidence of anxiety and depression. People who have a difficulty forgiving people struggle with insomnia, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease. All of these things are documented outcomes that happen when we're unforgiving in our own lives. But it's not just about those physical side effects. There's also a spiritual side effect that we have when we are not forgiving. Spiritually, unforgiveness becomes a hindrance in our lives. If we begin to hate someone or despise someone, to harbor resentment towards that individual, it's really difficult for us to say that we truly love God. If we remember 1 John 4:20, John tells us, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." How can we claim to love someone that we have physical human interaction with? How can we say that we love them if we don't forgive them? And how can we love God if we can't love someone sitting next to us in the pew? And so even though unforgiveness is not beneficial for us, many of us struggle in our lives. We can probably think of someone right now as I'm talking that maybe we have some ill feelings towards. It's been difficult for us to forgive them. Many times we struggle to find the courage to say those simple words, "I'm sorry." And sometimes we think it's because we want the person to respond in a certain way to our apology, or we think we are owed an apology. And so we struggle. We know it's the right thing to do, and yet when we encounter a circumstance where we need to forgive, it's difficult for us. And so how do we learn to forgive? Because my prayer is that all of us want to be more forgiving. A study done several years ago showed that vast numbers of Americans want more forgiveness, and yet they harbor more grudges than ever. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, or that I asked it on your behalf. Because I think we'll find the answer in this morning's gospel. In this particular parable from this morning, we hear of a king who wishes to settle his accounts. And one of the king's servants who owe the king a great deal of money. It's 10,000 talents. Now we might not know what that is, but let me assure you, it is a staggering amount of money. It's an estimate of somewhere around $165 million in today's currency. And it would likely take this slave about 65,000 years, given what a slave's wages were in that time period, to pay off this debt. 65,000 years. And so this gospel is hyperbolic. You might as well say he owes him the universe. And so this servant is called before the master, and he asks for more time that he might pay off this debt. And so the master listens, and rather than giving him an extension, which he knows is lunacy, because no matter how much time he gives this man, the man will never pay off the debt. So rather than granting an extension, he wipes the debt clean. He eliminates the man's debt. And so this servant will never have to repay what is owed to the master. That's some act of mercy on behalf of the master. And then the servant goes out and he encounters another servant who owes him about 3 months' wages. And he demands that this servant pay his debt. Pay me what you owe me. And this man does the same thing that the first servant has done. He asks for more time. Just give me a little time and I will settle my account. And rather than acting in the same manner, the servant takes the servant who owes him money and he throws the man into prison until his debt is paid in full. And so the other servants go and tell on this man to the master. And the master comes and he chastises the servant, calling him wicked for failing to act in the same manner that the king has acted towards him. And then he throws the man into a prison himself. And so what does this parable teach us about forgiveness? It's not anything too deep, but it's powerful, incredibly powerful. This parable provides us insight into the nature of forgiveness. And what it teaches us is this principle that if we grasp it, if we're able to internalize it, it will help us in our own lives when we're dealing with someone that we're having difficulty forgiving. Brothers and sisters, to forgive, we must be willing to cultivate humility in our own lives. We have to see ourselves as we really are. In today's gospel, the servant forgives this great debt, but the man who has the debt forgiven doesn't really realize the extent of the action that the king has just taken on his behalf. For some reason, he forgets. In a matter of moments, he forgets this great debt that has been wiped out. Somehow he thinks he deserves that act of mercy. Or he thinks it's because of his own good nature. But instead, he is prideful, and his pride strips him of the ability to show mercy to another servant. He's prideful. Pride distorts our view of ourselves. It prevents us from seeing ourselves as we really are. When we're prideful, we don't see our weaknesses. We focus on the weakness of others. Pride leads us to think that we're somehow better than others. We forget that oftentimes we struggle with the same things that everyone else struggles with. We'd like to think that we don't. We'd like to think that we're better, that we're more patient, that we're more forgiving, that we're more generous. But in reality, all of us struggle with these very, very human shortcomings. And when we think of ourselves as being better, it means that we're unwilling to show mercy and compassion to others, just like God has shown mercy and compassion to us. St. John Climacus warns us that pride makes us forget our sins, but the remembrance of them leads us to humility. So we have to be honest about who we are. Doesn't mean that we have to beat ourselves up, but we have to be mindful of the fact that we are simply human, that we're not perfect, and neither are other people. St. Paul encourages us in his epistle to the Philippians, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Doesn't mean that you don't have any value, but it means you're just as susceptible to deception as everyone else. The key to forgiveness is the cultivation of humility in our own lives. When we're prideful, we're not willing to admit that we've done something wrong. You know, I hate to admit it, but if I ever get into an argument with my wife, there comes a moment, usually in the argument, where I realize I'm wrong. And she doesn't like to point it out, but I realize. And even though I realize that I've lost the argument, I still have difficulty admitting that she was right. I usually have to go for a walk and come back and tell her she was right. And so we have difficulties admitting that we make mistakes. So pride makes us blame others. Sometimes we blame others for our thoughts or our feelings. You made me angry. You made me feel a way. Brothers and sisters, someone can never make you feel anything. It's our response to their actions. How we respond determines how we feel. It's easy for us to blame someone else for our problems, but it's difficult to accept that we can't control the actions of other people. But we try. You know, how often do we do that with our children? Or with other people, we try to control them. And so what pride does is it keeps us from being objective about ourselves. We see the actions of everyone else going on, and we try to protect our fragile egos. And we mismanage our feelings, and we let anger control our actions rather than the Scriptures. Rather than responding calmly, in a place of peace, in a place of trust, what we do is exactly the opposite. We react immediately because we're trying to preserve this integrity of who we think we are. We think we have some idea of who we are or who God is. But to be honest, oftentimes it's a false icon. Maybe we're not who we think we are. So my prayer is that with this morning's gospel, we realize that the Lord has acted mercifully with every single one of us. Every single one of us has been forgiven a great sum. 10,000 talents worth of iniquity. We have no right to withhold from someone else the very thing that God gives us so generously without strings attached. And so we have to be willing that we've not done anything to earn that forgiveness, that God gives it to us freely because of His nature. I close this morning with a quote from St. Isaac the Syrian. He says, "The person who's attained knowledge of his own weakness has reached the summit of humility." The person who has attained knowledge of his own weakness has attained the summit of humility. If you want to become humble, be honest with who you are. So, brothers and sisters, my challenge to all of us is to remember to see yourselves as you really are. Someone whom God loves dearly. Someone whom God has forgiven greatly. But also someone who is frail and weak and often makes mistakes just like everybody else. God has chosen to deal mercifully with us. And in humility, my prayer is that we're willing to recognize the debt He's forgiven and give that same mercy to others. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.